The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to the Comeback Radio Show with your host, Tony Farmer. Our show is all about what goes on behind the scenes in sports, music, acting, and celebrity lifestyles. You'll have the chance to interact with Tony and his guests, too. Now, get ready for the Comeback Radio Show. Here's Tony Farmer.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Thursday to you. I'm your host, Tony Farmer, broadcasting you live from rainy Southern California today. I want to welcome all the listeners from around the world. I want to give a special shout out to my boy Sean R. up in the Bay Area. He's listening to my show. And my mom is also one of my biggest supporters out here in California. She listens each and every week. We talk daily. So I love you, Mom, and I appreciate you listening. I want to give also a special shout out to Chaya Petachinko out there in Aurora, Colorado, as she's listening to the show as well. So exciting show planned for you guys. Got a good friend of mine who's going to be calling in a minute. It's going to be a guest on my show today. I have a long history of friendship with him. But my thoughts today is this. If God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. But if you don't have patience, you would tell yourself, I never knew it. So trust in him unconditionally. He'll do the things that he says. Sometimes we often wonder about his timing, but he's always, you know, right on time with his time. So with that being said, we got a good show planned for you. Some of the headlines that I've been following, there's been a tragic story from a young man by the name of Brandon Woodard, who was assassinated pretty much with in New York. Was one gunshot wound to the head, point blank range. They said it was a professional hit. He's from Southern California. He leaves behind a four-year-old daughter and a family. It's just such a tragic thing to see the images and to see the video that, you know, someone would just take his life like that. So my prayers go out to him and his family. I know some people that were actually close to him, and one girl had a relationship with him for 2 years, so her best friend is a good friend of mine, but it's just so unfortunate to see those things take place. Also, too, some of the headline news in the sports world, the Miami Heat lost last night. My old team, the Golden State Warriors, played them, and Mark Jackson's doing a fantastic job. They're 5-0 on this road trip, and a lot of people look at him saying no coaching experience, and how would he do? This is his second year. He's doing a fantastic job with that team up there, so salute to Mark, and congrats with that. So without further ado, there's some things with these Los Angeles Lakers. They got to get ready out here, and they're losing. They play New York tonight, so it'll be interesting to see how those things take place. I had a great time this weekend as well, seeing my little brother London, and my parents had a great event, and they had to raise some money for their drug recovery homes and everything, and it was very, very nice to see that they achieved their goal to $40,000. They have actually made $52,000, so God is good, and I want you guys to definitely keep them in your prayers and check out their website, www.drugalternativeprogram.com. My mom has a book as well, www.yourstrulyfreddy.com. So without further ado, I want to tell you guys a little bit about my guest. I've been friends with this young man since about 1996, I think 97, when I first met him through a good friend of mine, Isaac Austin. And he's been a good friend. I actually went to go visit him in North Carolina when I played for the Charlotte Hornets, and, you know his family, met his parents, and he loves hunting, fishing, and all that kind of stuff, and has a little unique story. He goes way back for a lot of athletes, so you'll want to hear, you know, the things that he's seen, the things he's learned. So I want to welcome to my show Mr. Joel Serve. Joel, you with me?
Yeah, Tony. Hello.
How you doing, man? How's everything down there in North Carolina?
A little cool today, but blessed. Had some good weather so far, so can't complain.
And every time I see on Facebook, you're always fishing, you're always hunting, so you're always getting your outdoorsman on.
Yeah, not pretty much to do in this little town. You know, we almost hit a few goats the time you came up here.
That's right. So, Joe, I mean, my friendship goes back to you a lot of years, and, you know, you've had, like, a unique relationship, like with Ike and different athletes, had a chance to help him out. Tell our listeners a little bit about your experience and your story and how you first, you know, met Ike and some different athletes and things like that.
Well, I had another friend I used to play some basketball with at the University of Utah, and so happened that day, Eric Murdoch and Ike Austin were playing up there as well when they were rookies or had just been drafted, and I broke my ankle. And Ike and Eric actually drove me to the hospital, and then I was living by myself at the time, and that Eric actually said, "Won't you come stay with me for a couple of weeks, you know, till you recover and get a little better?" And he extended his hand, and it was a great experience, and we just built a friendship from there, and that evolved into meeting a lot of other people, celebrities, and things like that, and just clicked, and eventually, you know, I had the chance to become friends with you as well, and it's just been a great experience for me my whole life, and to this day, I still keep in contact with quite a few.
Now, you know, with that being said, Joel, you know, a lot of times athletes have people that, you know, hang around with them and always want something from them, and you weren't one of those kind of guys. You've always had your own thing. You know, you had a sports bar business and things like that. Tell us about some of your experiences of, you know, some of the good and some of the bad of the things that you've seen with athletes and the people that hang around and always want something from them.
Names and faces come to mind to this day of people that I experienced that I saw the intent that they had to be friends with them versus the intent that I had, which was just being casual, and I never invited myself to do anything. If they needed something, they asked me to help them out or, you know, come over, go watch a ball game, help them when they were out of town. I think Ike and his wife, one time when he was rose above stardom there for a while, they wanted to go to the All-Star game in New York, and all of a sudden they didn't have a babysitter, so they asked me if I'd just help them out. You know, I was that kind of person to them. If they did do anything for me, I was out of goodness of their heart. I never expected anything in return. So, yeah, there's good and bad out there for the athletes, and they figure them out, but sometimes it's a little too late, you know, to see what the friendship's all about.
Right, and, you know, you look at the situation, I mean, of how close you were to Ike at one point in time and had his restaurants and things like that, and you've seen, you know, the ups and downs that the guys go through, and you see a situation like that. It's kind of disappointing sometimes when you see that, you know, guys that are really kind of don't take the value into their friendships, and you see them on the high, you see them on the low. And so it's got to be, you know, amazing for you yourself to see that because you've been around so many of them. And, you know, Ike is a perfect example of one of them.
Yeah, I've kept in contact with him, his son. Wesley probably doesn't remember me very much because he was only about one or two at the time. But I keep in contact with those people. On Facebook, I have people accept, you know, the friendships and things like that. Even though we don't talk or chat a lot, it's just at the time, especially in Miami, where, for example, you are on IR quite often, and we'd go hang out when the team would go out of town or whatever. You know, me, you would go hang out. I think a few times Tim Hardaway was on IR. We'd go hang out at the Cheesecake Factory, and that's how I just become like one of the guys. You know, I wasn't expecting much.
Right.
Didn't need anything. Like I said, if they did anything for me or my family, it was out of the goodness of their heart, and I don't think they expected anything in return, but they knew if they needed something, I'd be there.
Right. And I remember when, you know, I had a chance to come, you know, visit your family in North Carolina. It's just amazing how things, you know, turn out because I went from Miami and went to Charlotte and had a chance to come up there. And, you know, my friendship with you has been unconditional. Do you find that some athletes that you feel that you've seen have, you can tell the difference between the true friendships and you can tell the difference between those that just kind of want something from them?
Oh, yeah. Every time I was out or every time you would see somebody, even that situation was almost like the same for me as well because the people – I ran a nightclub down in Coconut Grove for a while, and the people you would see in my daily routine job, coworkers, you know, you were just some, you know, just a number. and then we would be out at a club we used to frequent on Sunday nights down on South Beach. And because I would be with you guys or somebody else, then all of a sudden they want to talk to me and hang out with me. And I treated them, you know, the same way they treated me, because I wasn't trying to introduce them to my friends because of the way they treated me prior.
Right, and I've seen it, you know, myself my whole career. I was blessed that, you know, my older brother was in the NBA, you know, NFL for a long time, and then I had a chance to, you know, come in the NBA myself, and it's really kind of, you know, interesting to see the people that come in front of you when you least expect it. And, you know, one of my friends, Sean, who I talk to him all the time, you know, on Twitter and by text, and, you know, he's always been a good fan, and I'm going to send his son a jersey. And you can tell people that have a genuine interest in your life because they're consistent in their behavior. And I look at somebody like you that, you know, I've enjoyed great times with and actually had a good chance to hang out and things like that. And don't you see that it's kind of frustrating when you know that sometimes, even if you're not a person's agent or things like that, you want to just give them healthy advice and just tell them to watch your back, because people take advantage of you so much. You look at a situation like Antoine Walker, look at the position he's in.
That's right. A lot of people I've seen, you know, especially with Ike, you know, had it a little rough in the beginning, you know, had to go overseas and play and things like that. And then when he did sign that summer with the Heat, I didn't even know that he was, you know, in town. I just happened to be in Coconut Grove, and he was there for that summer, you know, getting in workouts. And when the offer came to him to sign, you know, his deal, he went ahead and took a two-year deal because he had it so rough prior. And then he really excelled. You know, Zoe went down a little bit with some injuries. He stepped in, and then all of a sudden he was a hot commodity. And, you know, people that didn't know him before, now they know him. And when he was nothing, I don't want to say nothing, but when he wasn't playing to that ability in the you know, prior, you know, people probably didn't want to be that associated with him versus, say, him or Alonzo Mourning. Who would they want to try to be friends with, or who would they want to be known to be around? And then all of a sudden, Ike stepped up his game, won NBA's Most Improved Player. He got a couple of shirts made that said, I want to be like Ike or something like that. I can't even remember. It's been so long. But then all of a sudden, people out of woodwork started coming to, you know, Ike's every event, Ike's every need. They want to be hanging out with him. And probably some of those people to this day, you know, now that he's in California doing some other things, probably don't even know how to contact the guy.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I can honestly say I haven't talked to him in years, and I don't really know what he's doing. But the thing that, you know, I look at myself, a lot of my friendships that I have, you know, have been long-standing ones, you know, with you being one of them. And we're talking about 1995, 96, and we're getting ready to hit 2013. And I tell people all the time, Joel, and you can probably, you know, touch on this quickly as well before we go to commercial break, is you can tell a lot about a person because of their friendships. When they have long-lasting friendships, it tells you a lot about their character.
That's true. I lived in the town until I was about ninth grade here, where I'm back now because of the death of my father in 2001. But I got the privilege of my freshman through my first year of college living in a different town in a different state. And I have someone in every one of those places I live that I can call a true friend, versus the people where you live that you can call them friends, but they're more acquaintances. I have better friends in other states, such as yourself, than I could ask for. I could call upon you if I really needed help or if something, that I know that I could count on you, versus somebody that lives down the street here. So,
I mean, that definitely makes a difference. So welcome, everyone, to this week's show. We're going to take this quick two-minute commercial break, come back with more with Joel Serve and Tony Farmer. Welcome this week to the Comeback Show.
Every Wednesday, you'll want to talk sports with Touchdown Tony Collins and his co-host Bill Mattis. Tony's broken records and has been to the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl. We'll talk about what's happening in sports every week with news, action, and notable guests from all aspects of the sports world. We'll also involve you by discussing questions and topics of interest sent in via email from listeners all over the world. Become what you believe. Tune in to Sports Talk with Touchdown Tony Collins, Wednesdays at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Sports.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Want to experience football from the perspective of two former players who also have coaching experience? Tune in to Sports Info UM with Daryl Oliver and Sam Sword. We'll talk about the drafts, play-by-play, and even what's happening in the offseason. Daryl and Sam have the connections and the knowledge to bring you the inside stories of the game's past, present, and future. We'll cover the camps, on and off field, and everything else, football and beyond. Sports Info UM is heard Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to the Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. Got a question or comment for Tony and his guest? Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You could also send an email to tony.farmer@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. This is your host, Tony Farmer. I'm with my good friend, Joel Serve. He's down there in North Carolina. But, you know, Joel, one thing I wanted to talk about, too, was, you know, you've been around a lot of us athletes for a long, long time, as you said, and, you know, you've seen some things, both good and bad. What were some of the things that you saw that were pretty disappointing that you felt that was good learning lessons, you know, for you and for other people as well, as athletes and things like that?
Well, you've seen a lot of people trying to come into the picture and take advantage of somebody's stardom or their financial situation, and with the only thing in mind was for their financial gain. I intended just to have friends. It wasn't like I was looking for NBA or stars that I met in South Florida to just become my friends. It just happened because of the introduction. You know, I think one time me and you went to Michael Moore's party on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And we end up socializing with, I don't know her real name, it might be Pam from the Martin Show.
Oh, yeah, Tashina.
I think we all three of us just hit it off. We was playing spades or something, and we just end up going to South Beach. You know, and then you go down there with that, and you don't even have, you know, I'm not thinking really who I'm with. I'm thinking I'm with some friends. And then as soon as you get somewhere, the crowds and everybody's playing on that, and they come up to you, and they want to know, you know, they want to get to know you to get to know them. And it's just sad, man, that people actually are that way to try to make a friend or to try to, you know, be involved in the loop.
And one thing that, you know, I noticed a lot myself was that it's pretty interesting when you see that, you know, people come along and you know for a fact that their interest might not be the best interest and you look at, and then you see these athletes trying to take care of so many people in their life, and at the end of the day, it becomes frustrating for them because they don't understand that a person doesn't really have their best interest, you know, like they might think. And, you know, even myself, I always had to be, you know, cognizant of the people in my circle, and that's why, you know, I never drank, I never smoked, I just sat there and, you know, always, you know, kept my circle small. And I'm sure, like with yourself, you saw a lot too, Joel, of just, you know, running nightclubs and actually, you know, owning stuff. What were some of the things that you know, you learned more than anything with the experience of just, you know, being around athletes, being around celebrities? Because you've been around a long time and you still, you know, maintain, you know, good relationships with some people, as you say, and some people you don't talk to anymore.
Well, even on my scale, which is smaller than the professional sports scale, I owned my own sports bar for almost 5 years, and even in the small town that I'm in, the same scenario worked towards me as it did you and the professional athlete or stars. I mean, I would get people to be my friends in order to get just something like a free drink or free food or free entry or, you know, just something to benefit them. No matter what scale it's on, there's always somebody out there trying to take advantage of your success. And I haven't always had success. I've always worked for somebody else, restaurant business my whole life since I was in ninth grade. Started as a busboy in Emerson, New Jersey. But, you know, I finally, when I moved back to North Carolina, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for me. So I took what I knew and started my own. And, it, you know, it just on the same scale, it's the same thing. Always somebody trying to, you know, get a dollar out of your pocket or, you know, con you into doing something for them. I think it happens in everyday life to everybody.
Right. I mean, one thing that, you know, a lot of these athletes that are so unfortunate to that they don't see and they don't understand is the fact that, you know, they think a lot of people have their best interests. And one of the things I always used to hear is my agent. But you see, a lot of them don't really take responsibility for themselves to make things happen. And you look at, you know, like you said, a situation like Ike, and, you know, Ike end up getting a really good contract in Orlando, but you and I both know things didn't turn out even for him like I'm sure like he anticipated.
Right. You know, I knew his agent a little bit. I only saw him, you know, but that was a business situation to me, you know. That's what they do. I guess some people could become friends with their agent. I think I heard you quite often talking with yours, and it sounded,
right.
You know, more friendship, professional level. But, you know, Ike's was to where he was getting ready to really turn it up. And mostly his conversations to me were basically business, and that's, you know, that's fine. That's what the guy does. That's what they do. And you guys, in return, when you got just a normal average guy trying to get in your loop, you know, you got to be nice to them. I mean, you might know the intention of what they're trying to do, but, you know, you can't just be like a, you know, just totally a jerk to them and totally push them away, because then here you get the bad vibe or you get accused of something, or, you know, they say they saw you do this. So you got to be careful in your situation, too.
Exactly. And one thing I was always, you know, taught at a young age, you know, especially, you know, with my mom and my dad and stuff like that, they always told me that, you know what, be very, very, you know, cautious of your surroundings and the people that you think they're your friends aren't your friends, and the people that you think aren't your friends really have your best interests. And one thing that I've learned in hanging out with people like you is, like, the only thing you ever wanted, you know, was a friendship, and that's why, you know, still friends to this day. But, you know, I'm sure you see a lot of heartbreaking stories for the fact that you see people, you know, claim that this is their boy or this is their girl or this is this and this is that, when behind closed doors, you know, for a fact that interest is nowhere near there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a question. If you remember a guy that always comes across my mind, because he was always flip-flopping between whoever was doing something in Miami. Remember Greg?
Yeah. I actually had a chance to talk to Greg not too long ago. He's still down there in Miami. But, you know, even a guy like him, I can honestly say he was always hanging out with us and wasn't really asking for anything, you know, themselves. But you see, a lot of times you see these horror stories where guys are, you know, have these so-called entourages, and then they break them. You look at a situation like Allen Iverson, a situation like Latrell Sprewell, you know, a situation like Antoine Walker. Even when you were owning your sports bar business, what were some of the things that you saw that you knew was, you know, you felt like, you know what, I don't think this guy's going to end up like people think?
Well, I just heard a saying the other day from a gentleman. We're discussing some issues at a place that we play some cards every week. And he told me he would rather have a true enemy than a fake friend.
Right.
And I thought about that every single day since I heard that. And that is, and I'm going to start living that motto, because, you know what? you can learn and live by that.
That's true. I mean, I've learned that, you know, a long time ago that, you know, you keep your enemies close, you know, and not far away. And the reason why you keep them close, so you can know really of where their interest lies. And you know, I'm always, you know, a big fan. And I'm telling you, one of the best shows I've done was a friend of mine, Walter Bond, who's a, you know, professional athlete turned motivational speaker. And he said it. He said your income will be the average of your five closest friends. And the reason why I believe that, because if you want to be a millionaire, you want to hang out with millionaires so you can kind of pick their mind. If you want to be a thousandaire, you're going to hang out with thousandaires because you'll be able to pick their mind and relate. If you want to be broke, you're going to hang around broke people because their misery is always going to be to a point to bring you down when at the end of the day, you got to find your own niche. So it's totally true of what you said. And some of the things that you've seen of, you know, you bounced around to Miami. Now you're down there in North Carolina for a while. And what friendships have you maintained close to this day? Who do you still keep in contact with consistently, whether it's Facebook, whether it's text, whether it's phone?
By me moving around a little bit, you know, I lose contact with people. And the past few years with the Facebook has allowed me to rekindle a lot of friends, you know, that I've, you know, put to the wayside because I've been too busy. You know, we've all grown up. We got families. We got kids. My situation, I left South Florida due to my father's death. And, you know, I could probably say that I could count on two hands, you know, the people that I consider close friends, true friends. But then, you know, then you got the people that you would just say that you're acquaintances with. And I've got a lot of those.
Right.
I look at
a situation like, you know, of growing up in a sports household family and just learning different things. And, you know, even though it was a good experience for me down there in Miami, even though I didn't play much, but I was blessed with the fact that, as you know, I'd already been living there for 5 years before I even joined the Heat. But, you know, one thing that I've learned more than anything was to try to keep a humble mind and a contrite spirit and just, you know, kill people with kindness. And you look at things like a lot of athletes who've had way more money than a person like me, or a lot of athletes who've, you know, were blown up so much, and you look at them now, and now they're struggling. And I really think that a lot of athletes are struggling because they don't understand of how their plan B needs to become their plan A. So maybe you can elaborate a little bit on that as well, some things that you've seen. It's like, man, I never knew that that person would have that kind of downfall.
Well, the problem is when those players are such high valued or a high commodity that at the moment that's their interest, and you're not going to have many true people trying to be a true friend when you're up there making, you know, big money, and you know you're doing all kinds of interviews, you're doing shows, you're doing nightclubs, you're doing television ads. You don't get to meet any, to me, true friends. You get to meet acquaintances that want to do something with you, or you want to, you know, some kind of a benefit. As for, you know, I think if you hadn't been on IR as much down in South Florida, that our friendship probably wouldn't be as good as it is today. But we had the time to just go and do simple things. You know, go grab a bite to eat, go check out some car audio stuff for your car, you know, just stuff like that. I gave me the privilege of taking Carl Malone out on a little fishing trip one time. And, you know, it was really personable because it was me and my buddy and Ike and Carl Malone. And from that day on, you know, the Jazz only played the Heat once a year in South Florida. But every time I went to the game, even after Ike had left, Carl still looked me up, you know, you know, had me come to his room down on Brickell and things like that. So, you know, I think when people are really height of their stardom and they're doing well, they're not making many true friends along the way. And then when they do falter, where's all these people that were there when I was starting and had a 5-year deal?
Exactly, exactly. So with that said, everyone, we're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back with more with Joe Serve after this 2 minutes. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Thank you for listening to the show this week.
your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
Looking for the best show about horse racing and handicapping? Want to play the ponies? Join us every week for Winning Ponies with John Englehart, racing's regular guy, where you'll go inside and behind the scenes with the top jockeys, trainers, agents, and handicappers in the world of horse racing. This show is the perfect complement to the Winning Ponies handicapping website. Listen for top plays for the weekend and the spot play of the week, and win prizes just for calling in. Winning Ponies with John Englehart is live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Network. This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional. Take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Do you feel the need for speed? Whatever your addiction, NASCAR, IndyCar, NHRA, Formula One, or even lawnmower racing, Pit Pass USA has got you covered. Larry Henry here, host of Pit Pass USA. I put my 30-plus years of being a motorsports broadcaster to work to bring you not only the best guests, but also the most interesting guests in racing. Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry, your front row seat to the world of racing. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel. Be there or get a DNF.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to the Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. Got a question or comment for Tony and his guest? Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You could also send an email to tony.farmer@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is your host, Tony Farmer, with my friend Joel Serve as my guest today. Joel, one thing that, you know, I wanted to talk to you about, obviously you've been around the game for a long time, or around us athletes, I'll say, for a long time. And what have you noticed when you look at today's athlete, the difference of today's athlete compared to, you know, let's say when I first was coming up, about, you know, how they carry themselves, the people that they keep in their circle as well?
I actually think that they're probably doing better today than they did, say, back in the 90s, where there wasn't maybe some programs for new athletes that were coming into whatever professional sport they were doing, to how to look at a scenario and know if it's right for you or wrong for you, you know, some helplines maybe, or, you know, somebody to contact and, you know, to keep them straight. Because today's athletes, you know, you're talking almost 20 years ago from when we were in South Florida, the money is unreal. So the investment that teams take now to, you know, pay these players, they gotta, you know, make sure they're following and doing better than maybe some of the ones did prior, like you said, Sprewell and Walker, and, you know, just situations that they get into that nowadays, I mean, everything is posted on every news channel, radio, internet. So I think they're doing a better job of maintaining that inner smaller circle.
Right. And do you find that just today's athlete is just a lot different, you know, than before, as far as, like, you know, how they approach their social life, how they, you know, approach the game and things like that? Because I noticed that, you know, with the way a lot of people are now, a lot of athletes are now, is a lot different, because, you know, everything is about, you know, this is my boy, he's here, you got, and this person got to go there, and it's, you know, that kind of stuff. So it seems like today a lot of athletes are just a lot different the way that they're carrying their lives.
I think it's more starstruck now than it used to be, because you had a handful, maybe, I mean, like back in the 90s, you know, every team, such as the NBA, had, you know, one star, maybe two stars. Now you look at a team like the Miami Heat, the Los Angeles Lakers, they're all stars. from down to the guys that don't even play. You couldn't even tell who the 15th, 12th, 15th man is on the bench. All those guys are now stars. And I think it would totally be a little bit different, you know, if I was in that situation having to pick friends or my acquaintances, because they're so busy all the time, they really don't have the time to have, you know, you and your boy going for a night out and just have dinner, or going out, let's go fishing today. You know, it'd be a lot harder today to do that with today's athlete.
Right. Now, even when you look at of watching the game today as opposed to, you know, like when I first was coming up and some of us was coming up, what have you noticed that's a little bit different, even the game today, compared to when you used to be like at all our games all the time when I was in Charlotte and different places like that?
More business, more money. That's why they do it. That's why you guys play. A lot of guys play because they love to play, but the bottom line is the bottom dollar. And it's much more a business now than it used to be. Everything, every decision that you make, everything that you go and do can reflect your pocketbook today if you make a wrong decision. You know, I used to go and hang out in some clubs in South Florida that, heaven forbid, if anything happened in those clubs, it would have been plastered all over, you know, the papers the next day, and probably financially set you back when it came time to be traded, new contract, etc.
Right, and the thing that really, you know, kind of takes me back a little bit was when I see a lot of these guys that, you know, they might have like a rookie contract or just a minimum deal. All of a sudden they get the big deal, and then they just, you know, decide that they want to change, and then they get knocked back some more because guys get their attention. Have you seen that? Because I know I've seen, obviously, as long as I played, I've seen it myself so many times.
Well, Tony, I've always told people, you know, I've seen the guys that played every day. I've seen the guys that had been in the NBA, such as yourself. You had already been in the NBA and overseas for quite a few years.
Right.
I saw what you did versus somebody that had a big contract. And I'm not saying your contract wasn't big, but I'm saying versus a 5-year deal, guaranteed, et cetera, that you took your finances, no matter whether it was a 1-year deal, league minimum, or whatever, and you stored that away. You weren't out buying the $100,000 cars every other week. You weren't living in the $3, $4, $5 million homes. You were living at the moment with what you had and what you wanted to do later. And then even in the off season, you were going to France, you were going to Turkey, and you're padding your pocket on the off season because you knew that lifestyle was not going to continue forever. And now today, I'm not sure exactly what you do, you know, financially, but I can guarantee you, I know that you're doing something that you want, and that's what makes you happy. And I know that you're doing well.
And my thing is like this too. I tell people, Joe, all the time, you know, my experiences can never be, you know, taken away. I mean, I've played in some great places. You know, I played in France. Me and Ike spent part of the year together in France playing against each other, and we're our partner. I remember going to see, you know, him and Wesley and those guys and Denise at the time, and I really enjoyed that. But one thing I've learned, like, I didn't have, you know, the millions of dollars of contracts. Like you said, in Miami, had a real nice condo. I did have a convertible Mercedes and a four-door Mercedes, but, you know, it was just me. Myself, I didn't have this entourage. I mean, I hung out with you. I hung out with Greg. I hung out with a few of the, you know, Alonzo and certain guys on the Heat, but I never had that entourage. And I see these guys feel obligated to help their so-called boys. And one guy that does a great job with it is LeBron. He puts his guys to work, but they do a great job. They're building real companies. They're building real businesses. Magic Johnson the same way. So you see these guys that actually have a real business and they build that. That's the difference, to separate guys who just take care of those boys just because.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, with Ike, like I said, I knew him from, gosh, it had to be when he was a rookie. I don't even know what day that was. You know, and I lost contact with him because I think he didn't fare well that rookie season and had to go to Turkey. And he played over there for, you know, quite a few years. And then I just happened to, you know, we were acquaintances, but because after I broke my ankle that day, his birthday was coming up in the summer, and I actually had his birthday party at my little two-bedroom apartment with 100 people cramming the streets in Salt Lake City, Utah. And, you know, I think that might have been the start of a friendship, but I lost contact with him until I seen him back again in South Florida. But he knew that he had sort of a friend, you know, there now. And we did a lot of stuff that summer, and it just evolved into, you know, the friendship before he even became the NBA's most improved player or, you know, those kind of things that happened for him for the good later, you know. And I talk to him on the phone once in a while still, and I consider him a good friend of mine because I had a lot of great experiences with him, his family, his son. And, you know, I got to sit in the family section every single game for 2 years, and I got to know Tim Hardaway's wife and little Tim. Now little Tim plays at Michigan, you know, and it's just when I tell people, I said, I used to sit beside that little kid at every game. Alonzo Mourning's wife and son at the time sat in front of me, Dan Molly behind me, et cetera. And when I tell people that in this little town I'm in, they can't believe it. You know, they say, what are you doing back here? I said, you know, life takes you wherever you are, and that's where I am right now.
Right. I mean, and that is the truth. And I remember when I was in Charlotte and you got in touch with me, and I was driving out to your city, and you know, there wasn't a GPS out to your city. I just had to kind of go off your directions. And I remember we went to that restaurant, and they saw me, this big, tall African-American basketball player. They knew I played something, and once they found out I played for the Hornets, it was pretty interesting. But, you know, you look at the situation of when you have a true friend and you look at true friendships, you go above and beyond. And when I looked at our times in Miami and the places that I've been and things I've shared, those true relationships are what you call friendships. And it makes me sad today that you see some of the same people who might have been your teammates or some of the same people who, you know, were friends back in the day. They're so far long gone, and it's not because, you know, anything happens that I do or somebody else to do, but it's just the fact that they lose contact, and life is too short. But like I said, it really is all about relationships. And I was just telling my mom, you know, just last night on the phone, I had a chance to, you know, reconnect with somebody who I dated like in 1993 through Facebook. So, I mean, you look at a situation like Facebook and these different places and how you come in contact with and how even when you look me up yourself, it's like these relationships, you know, if you leave an effect on a person, because if it's meant to be, they'll find you. So we're going to take this last commercial break, come back more with Joel Serb, talking about what he's doing today and how things have changed after this commercial break.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Fantasy sports is where the action really is. Over 40 million people play fantasy sports, but rarely do they get to quiz the experts. Fantasy Insights is the name and the game. Tune in every week as Dish Adams and his guests clue you in on the fantasy football game, what's happening on and off the field, and how it will affect your fantasy team. These experts aren't just beat writers assigned to fantasy football. They live and breathe the game. Tune in to Fantasy Insights with Dish Adams every Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fan's perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network, and let's talk football.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to the Comeback Radio Show with Tony Farmer. Got a question or comment for Tony and his guest? Call in to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. You can also send an email to tony.farmer@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone. This is your host, Tony Farmer. I'm with my friend, Joel Sir. Joel, now today, you know, we're fast-forwarding to today and looking at, you know, where things are at for you today. You're back in North Carolina. You've been back there 10 years, and you got, you know, a lot of successful things going on. What's happening with you today out there?
I'm actually in limbo a little bit right now. I'm going to start probably a little cab company. It's very much needed here in town. I'm just a product of my area right now. You know, I do what I – there's not much for me in the work of, you know, line of work, especially in this economy. But, you know, I've always been a – I don't sit around. I've always been a go-getter. And I usually spend a lot of my time now in the outdoors. I got a great friend who I've become to know in the last 5 years that just qualified for the Bassmaster Classic, which is they take the top 50 bass fishermen in the world and they get to compete for $500,000, and he qualified for that. So I've been spending a lot of time with him. I went out to Tulsa, Oklahoma, did a little fishing with him, things like that. You know, it's just a product of my environment. I do what I need to around here and save a little money, and then I take off and go somewhere. Super Bowl, usually I take off to Vegas. Hopefully this year you'll join me. And, you know, 20 years ago, you know, I was on South Beach and living it up and playing and not working and just having a great old time, but that don't always last.
Yeah, I mean, things get pretty... You know, get pretty crazy in life, and you look at things and you find out, like, man, life changes before your eyes so fast. And, you know, now you're down there, you go from sunny Miami to a small town in North Carolina. Obviously that you're like it because you're still down there. And what would you say has been some of the biggest lessons you learned by hanging out with some of us athletes, and some that you've had good relationships and some that you might have had a strained relationship but don't talk anymore? What do you think some of the biggest things that you learned?
Well, besides learning a lot and seeing the way people are in those situations, even though I was in that with you guys, I was a step back. You know, I wasn't one of the people that was in the little loop that acted or showed myself to be noticed around the people that I was with. I was quiet. I just talked to them. I wasn't trying to make a scene so that other people would, you know, notice me as well as the athlete that I was with or friends I was with. Here, it's just very common, man. If half the people knew the things I had done and seen and gone and met, it would amaze them. They would be like, no way, and what are you doing here? But, you know, that was something that I did, and it was true friends. It wasn't something that I was trying to do on purpose, you know, so I could be looked at on the same level, or gosh, he's friends with Tony Farmer and he eats with Tim Hardaway, and you know, I just did it because I was friends with you guys.
Right, and we always knew that the true friendships as opposed to friendships that don't matter, and you look at, you know, how long we've been friends, you're talking about since 1995, so I mean, you're talking about, you know, a long, long time, you know, 17, 18 years. And those are things that, you know, you can never, ever change because of how you touch. So when you look at that, I tell people all the time, life is about relationships and service. Those are the two most important things, because at the end of the day, you can't take any of your prized possessions, not your money, not your cars, not your houses. You can't take any of that with you. But one thing you can do as leave a legacy for someone to remember. So I definitely, you know, appreciate your friendship and look forward to seeing you again. And pops, on this Vegas trip, going to Vegas, that'll be an exciting time. So, I mean, with that being said, I mean, I definitely appreciate you being on the show and look forward to talking to you soon. I wish you all the best of luck in your future endeavors as well.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you having me on your show as a friend more than anything. And, we'll keep in touch, and I appreciate you, Tony, for all that you've done in the past, and look forward to the future.
No problem. I always want people to know that, you know, it's not about having a celeb on the show every week, but, you know, just normal people in my circle, people that I've contacted with and have you on is a different, you know, way for my listeners to see that, you know, of somebody who's just been a friend with athletes and never wanted things. So I appreciate you again, appreciate your friendship, and look forward to seeing you soon. So with that being said, I want to thank my friend Joel for being on the show again. And my thought for the week for you guys is this. Never be ashamed of who you are, but keep working on who you are becoming, because in the end, all that matters is your opinions, no one else. You are allegiant to God, and that's it. So with that being said, I want to thank all of you for listening to this week's show of The Comeback, and I want to just end and tell you guys, you know, life is so short, and you cannot go through life angry. You cannot go through life with negative energy. You have to wake up and just be thankful that you are here, because God has spared. And as I told you, this young man, 31 years old, lost his life. I don't know anything about the life that he's in, but obviously there are some good and bad things, and somebody wanted it and they took it. So when you wake up, I tell, rather than be mad, kill him with kindness. Be happy. You guys can find me on Twitter at TFarmer8. I have my Instagram, TFarmer8. Facebook, my email is tony.farmer@gmail.com. I want all of you guys to have a blessed Thursday. Have a great weekend. Holiday season's in full gear. Get your shopping done. Christmas is coming soon. We'll see you next week on The Comeback Show. Thanks again, Voice America, for this opportunity. I love you guys. So long, everybody. Take it away.
Thanks for tuning in to the Comeback Radio Show. Please join Tony Farmer again next Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. See you then.